Welcome to the Cannabis Equipment News Podcast.
Hi, I'm David Manti, and welcome to a new episode of the Cannabis Equipment News Podcast. With me this week is Nick Tarabarelli, Vice President of Paxium Automation. How you doing today, Nick?
I'm doing really good. Thanks for having me.
Man, thanks for coming in. The first out-of-towner flew in for the podcast.
When I watched your podcast, I said I want to come here and be the first person to do it. Thank you for allowing me to be here.
Oh, man, I got chills from that one. All right. Well, before we get started, please make sure to like, share, and subscribe to the podcast. You could also help us out a lot by leaving the podcast a positive review on whatever platform you use. If you want to email the podcast, you can reach me at david@cannabisequipmentnews.com with email the podcast in the subject line. You could also subscribe to our daily newsletter and make sure you get it delivered to your inbox first. Nick, I always like to learn a little bit of the background. How did you get involved with the cannabis industry?
How did we get involved? In fact, it was the first time I went to a cannabis expo.
Okay.
We were working through a distribution group, and I had heard that there was a show at MJ Biz at the Rio Hotel, and I wanted to walk it. Mm-hmm. And I walked it, and as soon as I had got into the casino and into the expo, I was just blown away. Yeah. What is this? Mm-hmm. And then as I started walking and meeting people and just seeing the sheer excitement, I realized, holy shit, we gotta get involved in this.
Yeah.
And learn about this entire industry. So the first thing we did was to sign up to every expo we could.
Yeah.
Fine print advertising. And my next phone call was to our engineering group to talk about all the innovation that we could add or offer this whole industry. Mm-hmm. So it was by accident. I happened to walk the show, and there was definitely lightning in a bottle here, and we wanted to be involved.
What year was that?
That is probably 7 years ago.
Okay.
Yeah.
So,
which almost makes me a senior citizen in this industry.
It does, and it's crazy how much the industry has just changed in 7 years. You know, what's different now from what you noticed in the industry when you first got into it?
What I notice now, I mean, there's certainly a different level of sophistication. I think what we're seeing now is definitely a more fiscally responsible industry. I think the client base has changed a little bit, but the innovation is just as rampant as it was. I think we're seeing a level of maturity, certainly knowledge. We're seeing a lot of CPG professionals join the cannabis space. Mm-hmm. For better, in many cases as well, to add, you know, engineering experience, supply chain experience, and whatnot. But for me, what I've always seen is that the passion from day one to now is equally the same.
Yeah.
What I try to profess to anybody who asks about the cannabis industry is you know, having walked so many facilities in my 20 years in the automation industry, I've never seen such workforces so motivated to be part of something, and you often don't see that in other industries.
Yeah. That's one thing that I've always noticed about the industry is the passion just from your laborers.
Mm-hmm.
So what was that phone call like to the engineering staff all of a sudden, just like, hey, there's lightning in a bottle here. We need to essentially tool up for cannabis. Was there any resistance internally or
zero? Complete excitement. I mean, okay. I mean, our largest facilities are in Las Vegas, Miami, and Montreal. You know, we're you know, having a large facility in Canada, which was one of the first countries that federally legalized cannabis. No, everyone was, it was the opposite. It was complete excitement.
Were there any engineering challenges? I mean, it's a unique product that you're working with, but I mean, you guys do have, what is it, expertise in like 16 different industries. Did it present any unique challenges?
Yeah, I mean, I think every industry has its challenges. You know, we manufacture machines for the food industry, non-food, pharmaceutical, nutraceutical, cannabis. So they all have their nuances. So I think for us, we were able to use our experiences over the last 30 years. We've been in business for 30 years, the last 30 years, and how to translate that into cannabis. Now, mm-hmm. What was the most important thing for cannabis companies? Margin control, accuracy, dosing. So, I mean, when you're dealing with dosing, you need the highest accuracy. And a lot of that we learned from the pharmaceutical industry, of course. And then it was ease of use, which is, you know, critical in the food industry. So we're able to use these experiences, but the immediate focus was accuracy, accuracy, accuracy.
When you say that people are becoming more fiscally responsible, is that because they've been burned with bad machines in the past, or is it just an evolution of a little bit more oversight from the top?
I think it's absolutely both. I think, you know, oversight as businesses mature, price compression, mm-hmm. You know, when you have tighter margins, no different than in any industry, whether it's the restaurant industry, hospitality, or cannabis per se, if you have price compression, you need to be, you need to be tighter fiscally. Mm-hmm. You have to spend, less, than you make.
Yeah.
So that automatically forces you to do that. I think secondly is so many new people were into the business or got into the industry. These are their first time purchases ever as well. So now you're starting to maybe better vet companies, visit these companies. Mm-hmm. You know, we live in a society that, you know, everybody could have a nice website.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I think Wix is only
yeah,
a few $100.
It's amazing how easy it is to make a smooth looking website, and there's still some clunkers out there.
and so what we, you know, try to, you know, communicate to our clients is come visit us, see who we are. Start with at least Google Earth us,
yeah,
and then come visit us and let us demonstrate the equipment for you, prove it to you, so you can make sure you're making the best decision. Mm-hmm. These relationships last longer than most marriages. So you better choose your vendor wisely.
Yeah.
And likewise, you know, we want to work with customers that, you know, we're mutually intertwined and moving forward together.
When you first got into the industry, were you getting more business word of mouth? And is it still word of mouth? Or are you getting people like also that are first setting up operations, mm-hmm. or are they kind of retrofitting or replacing old equipment?
Great question. I think it's everything. So, I mean, why am I, you know, here with you today? It's exposure like this as well. I think a lot of it is word of mouth. Mm-hmm. People in the industry, like any industry, speak. And we've proven ourselves. We've delivered hundreds of packaging systems in cannabis in the last 7 years.
Yeah.
So it's a few things. One, it's a startup. We're making the first transition from hand packaging into automation. So mm-hmm. I like to call that, you know, crawl, walk, jog, and run. So there's different phases of everyone's business. So we're typically, you know, once you start walking and jogging and now running, those are the phases that we have different solutions for. So it starts with, you're at a critical mass. You cannot produce it by hand any longer. Mm-hmm. Two, it's scaling your business. Now we have to go faster. We might need duplicity. And then three, there might be new SKUs. So we have a lot of customers that might start packaging flower. And then from there, pivot into gummies. Yeah. Then it's pre-rolls. It might be wrapping edibles. So we have products for all of these. So it's completely organic. It's different. Everyone has a different story, and we try to accommodate their needs the best we can.
If you've had hundreds of machines go into the industry, mm-hmm. what's the one that stands out as the most interesting to you?
For us, you know, our most exciting segment is the Wanna Roll, is our mm-hmm. Automated pre-roll machine. Mm-hmm. We think that is by far, you know, the most ingenious, piece of automation that we've ever developed.
Yeah.
We're the most proud of, it's the highest speed in the world. We produce up to 4,000 pre-rolls an hour. I think at least what I've seen in a commercial setting mm-hmm. is maybe our closest competitor might be half. Mm-hmm. So we take a lot of pride in that, and we take a lot of pride in continuously pushing innovation. You know, we have an engineering team of approximately 40 electrical, mechanical, and software engineers.
Yeah.
We have a dedicated 20,000 square foot facility purely for R&D, research and development. So you have to continuously innovate. But pre-rolls is, for me, our most exciting segment.
Well, those are some incredible numbers. And I also like the 101, because that's kind of like when you talk about that, like crawl, walk, run. I mean, isn't 101 like the crawl?
That's exactly what it is. It is, I sometimes liken it to a boutique machine. Mm-hmm. You have specific needs. You might have a lot of product changeover, a lot of different strains, short runs, or sometimes it's the first investment that you can make. So we're starting to install a lot of those. I think last week we installed two, mm-hmm. And one in New York and one in California, which was exciting.
Nice.
But that's exactly it. We want to be able to grow with our clients. Mm-hmm. So we have solutions that are entry level to mid to high speed. Mm-hmm. And one of the packages we offer our clients is we'll buy back your older inventory, your different machines, and grow you into higher speed solutions too. Mm-hmm. So we're able to grow with our customer as we grow our business as well.
Well, and that makes sense. And then kind of with the history of your company, there's a little bit more trust or faith that, you know, Paxim still going to be around when they're looking to scale up?
That is, you know, really in the last 2 years, that's been a large focus of our customers. Mm-hmm. I've definitely felt that and had those discussions with business owners. Mm-hmm. I think there might have been a short era that if you were only cannabis and for cannabis, maybe that was a feather in one's cap. But I think in today's age, in today's day, a feather in the cap is diversification, mm-hmm. Maturity, experience, being a debt-free business that will be here, that will survive.
Well, and I think part of it is the pedigree, right? Like there are some machine builders out there that are focused on cannabis, like that know the industry, mm-hmm. but I feel like there are some out there that are also just trying to kind of like capitalize on the green rush. Do you see that at all?
Yes. I think, you know, what we've always communicated within our company is if we do good work, the universe will treat us well. If we mm-hmm. treat our customers well, if we build good quality machines and we support our clients and we listen, the universe will treat us well. And it has. Mm-hmm. There are no doubt we are in an industry that could be predatory. I see this in all facets, not just machinery. It might be selling cones. It might be selling packaging. You are working with many first-time buyers. Industry. Everything is an industry first. So we try to always take a step back and educate, and be really transparent. I'll give a great example: pre-roll machines. You know, mm-hmm. I think our specifications document is about 7 or 8 pages. And we'll have clients that will call us and thank us for the amount of detail that we provide them to help mutually ensure this is as successful as possible. We never try to oversell, mm-hmm. and that is critical. So my advice to any processor is visit your potential supplier, meet the people, see the equipment. It's important.
Are you in mostly large scale operations? Are you in some small, mid-size, like craft size operations as well?
We're in all of them. Okay. From small, regional, all the way to multi-state operators and everything in between.
Okay.
We work with, we see a lot in Canada, engineering first type businesses. In the US, we see a very entrepreneurial. You have to be adaptive. Mm-hmm. And coming back to what I said earlier, you have to listen. All our customers are unique. Yeah. They all have unique needs. So we pride ourselves on listening and making sure we provide the right solution for their business at that moment in time, mm-hmm. and then be able to scale based on how they foresee their future being.
You had mentioned that there's a higher level of automation being pushed in the industry. Is that coming from, people coming from outside industries as well, mm-hmm. like CPG? So is that higher level of automation being pushed from people coming from outside the industry that have seen it work other places, or is it coming from industry insiders?
I think it's coming from both. I think it's coming from, it's hard enough to find great people. Mm-hmm. Now, how do we repurpose our great people into doing more fulfilling roles that maybe automation could now take over? Mm-hmm. So for example, why dedicate 30 people to produce pre-rolls when one machine can do it with 3?
Yeah.
Why not use those 27 other people for very valuable roles within your organization because they're hard enough to find to begin with?
Yeah, you already have a labor shortage anyways.
So correct. So it already starts with the need to produce more, be more efficient, and then repurpose these employees that are so valued within a business. So that, I think that comes from within. Then from outside experience, of course, that there is a lot of, we have the opportunity to work with a lot of individuals that came from other industries that do have past knowledge or past experiences with heavily automated systems that I think help almost communicate that and not be so overwhelmed with the fear of automation, mm-hmm. that it could do it very, very well and it could do it consistently. 3, what I also see is that a lot of companies are very much focused on providing their customer, the consumer that goes to the dispensary, the same experience each and every time. No two people do it the same. No two states and two different people do it the same. Mm-hmm. That's becoming more and more important, that they want the client, the ultimate buyer, to have the same experience in any dispensary they buy their product, at the same dispensary, sorry, or state. Mm-hmm. But that's critical. You want the same product produced. So for example, our Wana roll ensures that every pre-roll is compacted the same way, twisted the same way, looks the same way, feels the same way. Mm-hmm. That's important.
How does it ensure that all of that happens?
Well, the machine is repeatable. Mm-hmm. So that's what's most critical. So mechanically, through servo drives, through PLC software, we're ensuring that we are compacting the same way and we're twisting the same amount of revolutions. And what we see a big evolution now is in the quality of milling machines and grinding machines in the marketplace to ensure that consistency as well.
Yeah.
So there seems to be a large focus now of product consistency coming out of the dispensary because they have a lot of competition. Producers have a lot of competition, and to differentiate themselves, they want to make sure, you know.
It's honestly, product consistency seems to be like that one variable that affects a lot of cannabis brands out there, because everybody wants that consistent quality through multiple states. And it's just hard to get when you have hand operators. One thing in the manufacturing industry is that like there's this idea that automation and new shiny equipment attracts a younger generation because they think they're more of like a tech savvy manufacturer, right? Is the same in cannabis, or is there still this idea that working in cannabis is this like tactile job where they get to touch the product a lot? Is there any difference there?
Well, I mean, I think in coming back to every industry, every business has their business model. So I think there's absolutely a place for purely hand rolled product or hand packed product. And I think that's part of the story of your business. So I think it really depends on the company itself. Mm-hmm. Its founders and its vision, and there's a place for everybody. Certainly, if you want to scale to a critical mass and touch every potential consumer in California, you probably couldn't do it by hand.
Yeah.
But of course, there are still those companies that might have certain products that are only hand packed. I think it's completely based on the vision of that individual business, which is great.
Yeah, makes sense. Do you spend more time selling a client that's been burned by a previous vendor or selling somebody that's looking for new equipment or a new solution?
Both. Cannabis is hard. Packing cannabis is hard. So what I communicate to clients always, and sometimes I even find myself, I may be defending competitors as well at times. There is a relationship between multiple parties to make anything successful. So if we talk about a pre-roll machine, of course, there's the pre-roll machine itself, its quality, durability, repeatability, and reliability. That's our responsibility without set. Mm-hmm. The cone quality, wow, that was something that we greatly underestimated. Yeah. I didn't realize that there are so many different qualities of cones in the marketplace. Mm-hmm. And we learned really quickly and we adapted quickly. So we try to partner with companies that build really good quality cones. We recommend them often. We try to educate our clients that there are disparities in cones. And what we did learn is that, you know, some cone manufacturers may have two SKUs, one SKU for automation and one SKU for hand packing. Okay. So that's all part of an education that we try to educate them. Then it's in the environment in which you use the equipment. Course, you want a stable environment that's conducive to packaging. The operators, training. We want to invest in training. We offer great training programs for our customers, either to come to our Las Vegas facility, for example, for free training, unlimited training on all our individual machines, one-on-one, classroom, as well as in the field. And then ultimately, it's the way we process the cannabis. Mm-hmm. Very, very important. So milling machines. There are several milling machines that we recommend. There are brands of trimmers that we recommend. So all of us together have to work together for the common goal of producing the highest quality product. So that's important.
Is that part of the message when you're talking to a client like, hey, bring us in, we're going to do X for you. But really, unless you have this milling equipment, this other equipment, like you're not going to get the best possible product.
So what I think is important and what we try to, you know, we certainly train within our own organization is educate. We will provide as much advice as we can. One of the, I think the neat things about our website is that, you know, we have so many videos of in the field. We've been really fortunate that customers have been very generous in allowing us to film in their facilities and show, you know, our systems operating, no cut and pasting, full runs. Transparency and education. And then relationships. There are certain brands that, you know, we will also recommend because it is important to help our client. Ultimately, it's their choice, but I've always taken the approach that, you know, we can't win every sale. Mm-hmm. I never want to oversell our capabilities. We want to make sure that we did it transparently, professionally, and ultimately our customer chooses. More often than not, they appreciate that level of professionalism that they might not experience elsewhere.
Who are some of these manufacturers that you recommend?
Yeah. So Cones. Oftentimes we work with Futurola, as well as Jiva, that we find our customers really like. We've worked with Hara Cones. Mm-hmm. Many of our customers like. Work with Custom Cones as well. In milling and trimming machines, a lot of our clients use Mobius.
Okay.
They build a really high quality product. Mm-hmm. And then some of our, as well as their trimming and grading, mm-hmm. there's also, Twister trimmers that a lot of our clients may use as well.
Okay.
So it's important that, yeah, they seek high quality machinery. And then there's, in terms of, trimming as well, Green Bros does a nice job too.
Okay. Do you ever run into some of the claims that are made by other automation companies and you kind of have to combat, like, they're not going to hit that number or they're not going to actually, like, you know, how often do you find yourself selling against kind of like somebody that's maybe fudging the numbers a little bit?
Okay. I mean, what I see is, for example, if any vendor says pre-rolls are easy, I can pack any cannabis. Run away as quickly as possible. I tell them, run away.
Yeah.
You know, that's dangerous. It's not. Pre-rolls are really, really hard. So that's important. I think something else that's interesting as well is, and we're very proud of this, we are the first company to have our entire portfolio of weighing machines all NTEP certified. Mm-hmm. We are officially the first and only company with an automatic pre-roll machine that is NTEP certified. NTEP certification is amongst the most rigorous weights and measure and accuracy certification processes available to companies like ourselves, that we invested a lot of time and resources, and we are the only in pre-roll and the first to have our whole portfolio of weighing systems, our Primo Combi multi-ed weigher, our weight check analyzer, as well as our monoroll. So what's important for us, to our customers, to know that quality, that we're providing the highest quality product to achieve the highest performance that we can.
Was it difficult to get that NTEP certification with such a variable product as cannabis?
Yes, it was strenuous. It was a lot of work. First, so it always starts with the quality of the equipment, the quality of the weight cell. So we only use on our Wana roll, we don't use strain gauge load cells. We use electromagnetic weight cells.
Okay.
Highest quality on the market, German made. So it starts with your componentry. Then it starts with your assembly and your manufacturing of the entire system to make sure it's repeatable. The testing was strenuous. The Department of Agriculture was involved. We had over 100 hours of testing in our facility. We had to ship all our systems across the country to Ohio for multi-day testing in both cold and hot chambers, and then returned for validation. It gave me a whole appreciation of NTEP.
Okay.
Because starting off, I had only seen NTEP bench scales, and having gone through it really gave me an appreciation of the difference in quality and documentation.
Yeah,
and that's critical.
You're not just like buying a certification.
I thought it was more like, but it was not.
Yeah,
and I'm glad we happened to go through it because it made us a better business.
Yeah,
it pushed us further and further to achieve the highest performance we could, ultimately getting the highest certification we could receive.
What was it you had mentioned how Cones varies so much.
Yeah.
What was that like initially? Did you think, you know, there was something wrong with the machines, or just because I've heard this from other automation companies where they were surprised by the variation just in the weights and the consistency of each cone, and it like wound up messing up machines. Did you guys run into the same issues?
So I think the biggest surprise for us was twofold. One, in that the quality may not have been consistent. Maybe it was produced in two different locations, could even been two different countries, but from the same brand. And then two is that how important it was to communicate to those brands that it was being used for automation, because they might have two different qualities, one for hand packing, which is much more forgiving, and one for automation that requires high precision. Mm-hmm. So that was important. And then, of course, you know, in COVID with supply chain issues, I think the third biggest issue was how many companies were changing brands almost weekly, because that's what you were able to get your hands on. Mm. So that was interesting. So my advice for any processor or producer is that consistency is important. Have really strong relationships with your cone companies and communicate the type of consistency and quality that you're looking for. Mm-hmm. And what I've found in the industry is that the cone companies are really accommodating. They tend to be very customer oriented, and they need your feedback as well. Because again, you know, it's all of us together to produce the best solution for the client.
How often are you guys making changes based on customer feedback?
All the time. Yeah. We listen. There's been many great ideas that came from clients. They've come from employees. They've come from partners. You have to be able to listen. Now for us, it makes it easier because we're a manufacturer. Mm-hmm. So our pre-roll machine, we manufacture A to Z in our facility. So we're able to adapt. We're able to change. Everything is stock coded. Everything is drawn in SolidWorks. Where someone who may be buying and reselling has zero control of their product, right? Mm-hmm. So there's some pre-roll machines in the marketplace that are like that. So for us, we want feedback. You know, what were some of the changes? Our crown assembly, certain software algorithms, reporting. We get a lot of feedback on reporting that we try to accommodate. Changeover cleaning. Okay. We want customer feedback. We have an internal process. We're about 300 employees, so we're big enough to have a lot of infrastructure. So we have our own internal process of engineering request changes. Mm-hmm. That's open to our employees. So we have a portal that any type of feedback from a client or an employee, we open a case, we put in our recommendation of this change, and then company policy is that ticket then goes to an engineer who has to investigate it. And should they choose not to initiate that recommendation, there has to be a response as to why we didn't or we chose not to, or why we did. So we internalize all of that feedback, and there is a mechanism within our organization that ensures that multiple people have to vet the request.
I mean, how often does that happen where that request comes in and it's just like, oh, why did we never think of that?
Hindsight's always 20/20.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. You had mentioned the height of COVID, and I mean, the industry I think is struggling a little bit with, sort of demand kind of coming down a little bit. Mm-hmm. Have you guys run into any issues with people with like CapEx drying up and, people kind of, battening down the hatches a little bit?
Yeah. So, I think you always have to adapt to the times. So we always try to be ahead of the curve as best as we can. We invested a few years ago into this R&D center. It's about 20,000 square feet purely for R&D. So, and to do that, and the importance of that was that we would always have new products rolling out that would add value to our clients. So where we might see, for example, there's no doubt there's a transition from jars to bags. Mm-hmm. Well, now we've invested heavily in our bagging automation. Then we've seen a proliferation of gummies. Mm-hmm. Where we've now developed and offer our clients gummy counting systems. So that's a big growth market.
Okay. Like just counting gummies?
Yes. Okay. And putting those into bags or jars. Because oftentimes those may yield higher margins for our customers than traditionally flour that's getting a lot of price compression. Now we've been working on automating putting pre-rolls into tubes, putting them into canisters. Our big thing that we're going to show also at MJ Biz is our whole lineup of inspection machines, how to further reduce labor inspecting products.
Okay.
So I think what's important in any business, you need diversification. Diversification comes from new products, evolution of products. You know, even Apple, you know, they have to, you know, they just came out with their...
That VR headset?
Yeah. You know, you have to evolve and you have to add new products, and the products have to be of value to your customers. So for us, that's how we've mitigated our risk in this economy. And ultimately ensured that we're delivering a lot of packaging systems on a weekly and monthly basis.
Okay. Do you ever find yourself surprised by some of the products applications that they go into? Just because, you know, looking at your website, like, did you ever think that you would be like packaging CBD dog treats?
No.
That's one of the things I like about some of these.
I debated whether or not I got two dogs. I got Frank and Lola, my French and English bulldog. But I've often debated, should I get them CBD treats? But I haven't.
Oh, man. I'm like, in the hardest part of that is that a vet won't tell you. Because they're just like, oh, you know, wait, there's no firm science. And we actually have someone's married to a vet in the office. And anytime, you know, we're at like a company party, I'm like, all right, tell me about the CBD products, because my dog is just a monster, especially when, you know, we leave her home alone. It's like, can I just give her a CBD bone and she'll be all right, right? And it's just like, you know, the science isn't there yet. I'm like, I need a yes. I can't do it without a yes. So you brought some of the products, like, what are some of the things that you're packaging that people are using your equipment to, you know, fill?
Yeah, I'll show you some of these.
Okay.
So, the biggest segment when we had first started, of course, is jars and cans. Mm-hmm. So we're seeing a lot of packages, you know, filling into cans now.
Yeah.
We're seeing a lot of conversion from glass to plastic and now metals.
Oh, really?
We're starting to see, I got a couple of packages here. Let me show these. So we're seeing a lot of low profile containers. Mm-hmm. You know, whether or not, I think it, you know, easier for you to pull out products. We're seeing a lot of this for gummies and edibles.
Okay.
We're seeing a lot of conversion from glass to plastic, lesser expensive.
Yeah.
And glass, of course, is fragile.
Yeah.
So a lot of installations for cans.
Is that because of the durability that people are interested in, or is it a materials cost thing too for the metal?
I think a couple of things.
Or is it just that
one is
cool.
Material cost, and then two is from a printing and marketing standpoint.
Oh, okay.
Now you don't have to put a label on.
Gotcha.
The graphics are beautiful.
Yeah. Do you guys do the printing equipment too, or is that kind of added?
We'll do lock coding. Mm-hmm. We have printing systems that can communicate like with your Merck system to be able to put on any sort of value-added data to the bag, but we don't do any printing, or we don't sell the packaging.
Oh, okay.
One of the other really popular transitions now is going into pre-made bags, stand-up zippered pouches.
Okay.
Like this. This is an example of a stand-up pouch.
Okay.
A lot of companies transitioning from containers to flexible bags. Mm-hmm. The costs of the bags are significantly less. They take up a lot less room. So transportation costs are significantly less as well.
Mm-hmm.
We have a few suppliers we work with. A great supplier is a company called Grove. Grove bags that are really good.
One thing I'm curious about is with digital printing, it's allowed people to, like, you know, they don't have to have a warehouse of this type of packaging equipment anymore.
Yeah.
They can kind of get it as needed. Does that affect you guys at all? Because you don't necessarily know exactly what they're using or trying to fill?
So for us, it doesn't affect us when they're using the same, essentially the same materials and the same bag sizes.
Okay.
So most of them are just changing their print. So in that case, it wouldn't have any effect on the equipment at all. And then if it is a size change, it would just be an adjustment on the machinery itself. But it's funny you say that, because I do see a lot of customers. We have some great ones in Michigan that are doing that. And it blows me away how quickly they can get a new SKU of bag almost within a few days of a completely different style. And that really adds to their marketing story and their client base. I think, you know, it's all part of, you know, why they're successful is that their packaging is so unique and evolves.
Okay.
What else? A lot of flow wrapping. So we build high-speed and mid-speed flow wrapping machines. So this is an example of a gummy edible. This is a chocolate edible.
Okay.
So we do a lot of this. Mm-hmm. We have solutions from 10 cycles a minute to 400 cycles a minute.
Yes.
We have one client, one in Washington, sir, and two, or right now that we just delivered systems to, and another one in Florida that we just recently delivered that are packing about 400 edibles a minute.
Oh, wow. See, that was one thing I was curious about when you had mentioned that the Wana roller goes up to like 4,000 pre-rolls an hour.
Yep.
Yeah. Is there a ceiling on, you know, whereas like in other industries like pharmaceutical, like more will always be more. Is there a ceiling in terms of like what people need in terms of output for cannabis?
Yeah. So I think certainly geographically based on the state that you're in, the population is going to dictate in large part how many you can produce or how many you'll need to produce.
Mm-hmm.
What's really unique to the Wana Roll is that it's the only expandable pre-roll machine on the market. So the model that can go up to 4,000 pre-rolls an hour, that's what we call our 8-channel. It has 8 lanes. Mm-hmm. We're filling and twisting 8 at a time. But that model can start with a single lane and you can go from 1, 2, 3, all the way to 8 channels.
Okay.
So what we'll see is, I'll give you an example of like an MSO. An MSO, maybe in California, they have an 8-channel. Maybe in another state like Connecticut, maybe they have a 4-channel.
Mm-hmm.
And then when they get to a certain critical mass, they'll all be 8 channels. Or we'll have some smaller states or smaller companies that may only start with a 2-channel and never evolve from the 2. So what's nice is that you can grow with it.
Mm-hmm.
Most of all our competition make rotary style pre-roll machines. They're round.
Yeah.
There's nowhere to go. You can't expand it. Mm-hmm. It's a circle. So that was part of the design criteria that we had with our pre-roll machine. Was what would we want? If we were the consumer, we were the customer buying this, and the first thing we said is, well, we want to have expandability. We want the machine to be able to grow with us.
Right.
So the first model was made wider so that you can go from 1-channel to 8, mm-hmm. and it was made longer. So you can start with a twister, mm-hmm. you could add a trimmer, and if you wanted to, you could add a crown. Mm-hmm. You didn't have to do them all at the beginning. It was purely modular.
Yeah.
So that was really important to us because there might have been other companies now that have used our design maybe to inspire yes. them.
Yeah.
Or inspire their business.
It's always
good
to be inspiring.
But the rotary ones can't. They just can't. What else? Putting pre-rolls into tubes. Mm-hmm. We can do that. We have systems that will fill, that can automatically fill up to 60 tubes a minute with a pre-roll. Single, 2, 3, all the way up to 10 or more.
Okay.
And then in Florida, we make a whole category of automatic cartoning machines. Mm-hmm. So our business, Enflex, in Miami, Florida, we can form cartons, tuck. We can put a jar into a carton. We can put this into a box and put it onto a pallet.
Okay. I don't want to say breaking point, but like, what is what does the equation look like where the ROI is a slam dunk for when somebody should bring automation in house?
Yeah, I think in most industries, you know, that decision may happen at they may calculate at a 1-year payback. A lot mm-hmm. of businesses is a 2-year payback. Cannabis, you're typically seeing a 2-month, a 3-month payback. It's mm-hmm. so quick.
Mm-hmm.
We had a client, you know, who made a large investment in pre-roll automation. And I think their payback was a month and a half because of how much labor they were able to reduce.
Mm-hmm.
I think, you know, what's hard for the industry at the moment is that there's a liquidity pinch.
Mm-hmm.
Financing is harder to get. You know, the markets aren't lending as much money as they did in cannabis. Hopefully with some legislative change, it'll reignite the industry again.
Mm-hmm.
So I think if you purely look at it, a dollar for dollar investment, most of the time we've seen that the automation has paid for itself in anywhere from 1 to 6 months maximum.
I mean, that's incredible.
I mean, in what industry could you buy something and pay it back that quickly? It's not typically seen in the food or pharmaceutical.
Does that mean at some point the equipment's going to have to get more expensive?
No.
I don't know. I'm just saying, do you see that internally and you're like, man, the ROI is like a month. Maybe it could be worth a little more?
No, because coming back to my earlier statement is if you work in a professional and transparent way, the universe will repay you.
Okay.
So no. We never want to take that approach. We want to make sure that we provide value to our clients, but certainly not take advantage of that type of opportunity. Now, I have scratched my head and asked myself, you know, why some pre-roll machines I compete with are so expensive. When I may, you know, look at the components that are used, where they're fabricated, how they're fabricated, that scratches my head that, you know, that I think is the opposite. They should be selling theirs for a lot less.
Mm-hmm.
But we certainly don't want to increase our prices for our clients.
Talking about the components, that was one thing you mentioned earlier that I wanted to follow up on. You said that you use a different cell.
Mm-hmm.
What were the two cells you had mentioned, and why'd you choose the electro?
So they're strain gauge and electromagnetic weight cells. Mm-hmm. Electromagnetic weight cells are much more stable. They hold their weight. They typically don't need to be recalibrated once they're installed. We're a strain gauge load cell. They're significantly less in investment or unit cost.
Mm-hmm.
But they, over time, they need a lot more calibration.
Okay.
So for us, holding, you know, the precision in weighing in hundredths of a gram is so critical
mm-hmm.
that it's not whether or not you can just do it once.
Yeah.
You have to do it, well, maybe 4,000 times an hour.
Yeah.
And be accurate.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know, is there anything that can't be automated yet?
What can't be automated? Yeah. Well, I mean, I guess you'll see one day with ChatGPT, right?
Yeah.
I think people, intuition can't be.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's a huge purpose for people within any process. But I think certainly from a packaging perspective, that could all be automated.
Yeah. Okay. I didn't know if there were any, you know, sort of products out there in the cannabis industry where it's just like, it just hasn't been figured out yet.
Yeah. I think there's a lot more of that maybe in the processing.
Mm-hmm.
I think in the transportation from rooms to rooms.
Okay.
But in packaging, I think the next foray, what we're focused on is like inspection, quality control.
Yeah.
I think that's important.
No, that was, I wanted to ask you about that too. So without giving everything away, what do you got coming up in MJ Biz there?
So we got a few things that we're going to probably exclusively show within our facility. We have about a 50,000 square foot facility in Las Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
We've been in Las Vegas for 20 years. And so at MJ Biz, we'll have new products at MJ Biz, but we'll also have some certain exclusive products within our facility. And one of them will be a lot on the pre-roll inspection side, pre-roll loading, loading canisters, loading trays, loading tubes.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the other area that's not commonly automated at this point, a lot of that is still done by hand. So those are the things that we're going to show.
Okay.
Yeah.
What do you see as the next product category that's going to be, that could potentially be big for the cannabis industry? You know, you mentioned margins for edibles and how mm-hmm. those have been proven to be lucrative as there's been price compression with flower. Anything else on your radar?
I think it's going to be the use of robotics.
Okay.
So having robots do more. So whether they're collaborative robots robotics to pick and place certain of these SKUs and put them into packages. I think we haven't seen, or there's not much robotics on the cannabis side yet. And I think you'll see that because it's very common in other industries.
Yeah.
So part of the solutions that we're going to demonstrate as well is on the robotic side, whether or not using Delta robots to pick and place bags, place them. Same with pre-rolls. For example, you may have a tray, and we'll have a Scara robot that will place odds and evens within the trays, things like that, like much more intricacies.
Yeah.
So I think robotics.
I mean, that's one of the things where you go to one of those packaging shows and it's all over the place, mm-hmm. that pick and place robotics. And it's, and that's just, you don't see that a lot in cannabis?
No. And we offer a lot of it. And a lot of our robotics, we build them all in our Italy facility. So our main three manufacturing hubs are Montreal, all our pre-roll, primary packaging, bagging, jar filling, Miami, Florida, anything for cartons and cases, or corrugate. And then in Italy is where we build all our flow wrapping machines, as well as all our robotics.
Okay.
So we're, Montreal, Miami, Florida, and, in Italy, we're about an hour from Venice.
Okay. Do you do like, what does your global portfolio look like when it comes to cannabis? Are you primarily selling into North America or are you selling, you know, into Europe as well?
Everywhere. We cut our teeth, obviously in Canada and the US. Mm-hmm. We've had installations all throughout the world. We've successfully installed multiple lines in Israel. We've installed in Switzerland, Portugal, and have other applications now in Germany and the Netherlands. So for us, you know, what's important is you have to be able to support your customer. So we have a facility in Italy. We have a team in Italy. We are the only company I know of in the US that has a footprint in Europe that could properly manufacture, deliver, support our client base in Europe. So that's important. So there's no doubt Europe is a growth area for us that we can support. But it's all very fluid. I think cannabis is about as fluid as it can get. Every day I go to, MJ, I go to your site, CN. Mm-hmm. What's the news? What's changed? It's always changing. I'm curious from you, what's going on in Wisconsin?
Nothing. Dragging their feet. Just political theater. It's very unfortunate. We have one senator, Senator Agard, who's really leading the charge, and she makes a lot of really good points. They recently did a study about, they took the 8 dispensaries on the Illinois border, just like 8 dispensaries on one border, and it was like Wisconsin residents accounted for like $30 million. In the first year, and now we have Minnesota coming online and Michigan to the north. And it's just, I like to joke about how cannabis being a prohibition state does wonders for the billboard industry. Because anytime you're within like 100 miles, they're like, you're 100 miles away from legal weed. You're 100 miles away from legal cannabis. But it's just, it's been very frustrating. And it's one of those things where I don't understand how it has majority support. And yet, we have politicians that come out and they're like, hey, we'll look into medical, but we're not California. It's just like, come on, man. Everyone already thinks we're a flyover state. Let's not go.
Got it.
So it's been frustrating, but I'm hoping with Minnesota coming online that might just put additional political pressure out there.
And what's the feeling here like in Madison?
You know how they say there's like, a lot of times joke about how it's a lot of red with like 2 blue dots in Wisconsin between Milwaukee and Madison. Well, Madison's also a very green dot, where they've pretty much decriminalized it in Madison. Once that happens, you are much more aware of it. But I think that it gave people also a false sense of security because like if you travel outside of Dane County, like it all of a sudden gets pretty serious if you get the wrong sheriff, So it's been frustrating.
I think the one thing I can say about the cannabis industry is it brings people together.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's just a matter of time that every state will listen to their constituents who want it.
Yeah.
And it does bring people together. And something I mentioned earlier was when you visit. I mean, whether it's a trade show, whether it's an actual processing company or producer, the one thing is in common. Everybody is excited.
Yeah.
Everyone is enthusiastic and positive.
Yeah.
And I've been to poultry expos
that
are the opposite.
Yeah, no, it's cutthroat.
So I think it creates, one of the things that, I want to take the opportunity that, while I'm on here is to say, how many jobs it creates, how many young people I see who have now found a career in something they never thought was available to them.
Yeah.
How many people who might have left a CPG role in a normalized industry into this that have reinvigorated I think at the end of the day, life is short, and it's great to see how many people genuinely love working in this industry. That that's not every industry.
No, you're right. I mean, as we've worked in multiple industries at the publishing company, and you're right, it's a way different tone when you're like at a medical show. And it's in cannabis, it's collaborative. People are openly like not giving away trade secrets, but saying like, hey, you should talk to these people, making suggestions, just because it's like sort of a lifting all ships mentality.
Yeah.
And it is, I mean, I love that about cannabis, where it's just like everyone's, and you're talking about the passion with the young people or younger generation. And that's just something you don't see anywhere else. You don't see people that are buying into a potential career that, again, they never thought was possible. It's very cool. I don't know. But anyway, like, I know that we're going longer than normal, but
are we going longer? I don't know. I feel so fast.
I saw the producers like wave. I'm like, I don't know I should, but, no, anyway, one thing I was curious about is, you know, is there anything else, you know, that we might've left out or anything in particular you want to make sure that, the Cannabis Equipment News audience knows about yourself or Paxium?
Yeah. I mean, let's say two things. I mean, what I want them to know about ourselves, come visit us, see what we do in person, any of our facilities. Let us demonstrate to you how automation may help your business. We also want your feedback as to a new product or innovation that could help your business. We're very adaptive, and we appreciate any opportunities. We're very proud of the customer base that we've been able to develop. And work together with our customers. And we're just really in a fortunate place and we appreciate it.
Yeah.
I think in speaking to companies that are looking to invest in automation, I would say do your homework well, visit, watch demonstrations, speak to clients, see products in the field to make the best informed decision. Everyone has a nice website. Everyone could crop a photo.
Yeah.
But we really believe in improving our wares, which is why we have multiple facilities that we demonstrate our equipment in person, because we want you to have the absolute confidence that you've not only chose the best machine for the process, but you've chose a company, and a company with a team of people that genuinely care, that are available for all your needs, and will do the best they can all the time.
Yeah.
That's all I got.
Well, and I feel like everyone's afraid of having that dusty equipment in the corner. I hear about that all the time when I talk to operators about like, yeah, we bought this and we don't really use it. I wanted to get your thoughts on legalization. Do you have any predictions or expectations as to when it might go federally legal or how that might impact your business?
Well, I think the great thing about being, I guess, part of a democracy is, I mean, you need to, of course, put the pressure on your local representatives. I think it's obvious. The industry creates jobs. It creates revenue and taxes. So I think are very surprised that there hasn't been as much momentum the last couple of years.
Yeah.
You know, we're going into a new cycle here, and hopefully, I think it starts with banking, the banking acts.
Yeah.
Ultimately, I think that it's inevitable that it'll come, and I think it's what consumers want, and more people have to. I think visit companies and see the absolute professionalism of these producers, and it'll really change one's perception. This is a highly skilled industry with that's certainly impressive, I think.
Well, thank you so much for flying in today, man. I really do appreciate it. It's been a great conversation and just been happy to learn a little bit more about yourself and Paxium.
I appreciate the opportunity. I hope I've inspired others to come on down here. The studio is beautiful. This is my first time doing a podcast like this.
Oh, so right.
I'm so happy I came and hopefully I've inspired others that will make the trip out here. I think it's worth it. Thank you for your hospitality.
Yeah. Hey, always welcome, man. Always welcome. And, hopefully everything goes well for your nights tomorrow. So we'll see.
Actually flying home first thing in the morning to make it back to game five. So thanks.
Very good. All right. Well, before we get out of here, please make sure to like, share, and subscribe to the podcast. You could also help us out a lot by leaving the podcast a positive review on whatever platform you use. If you want to email the podcast, you can reach me at david@cannabisequipmentnews with email the podcast in the subject line. You could also subscribe to our daily newsletter. Make sure you get it delivered to your inbox first. For Nick man, I totally messed it up. Tarabarelli.
Nailed it.
Got it. For Nick Tarabarelli, Vice President of Paxium Automation, I'm David Manti. This is the Cannabis Equipment News Podcast, and we'll see you next week. I even swatted this thing. My goodness.
Thank you for listening to the Cannabis Equipment News Podcast.